Hey guys, what's up? You're listening to the Burner Files Podcast, Episode 5, coming to you from a basement in Toronto. I'm your host, Hans.
I'm your co-host, Paul.
And tonight, we're going to be talking about the origins of laughter, the movie, The Interview, being a night person, being a cat or a dog person, and a whole bunch of crazy cyber wars going on the internet. So without further ado, we bring to you the chill vibes of the Burner Files. You know, and even after our fifth episode, I still am in love with our theme music, and I'm so proud that we chose Space, the track.
It is the perfect intro.
It's such a good mood setter, and I just thought of it while I was playing after I said the intro, and it is so cool. It's so ambient, and the kick drum is perfectly dynamically placed.
It's all analog.
They're the predecessors of Daft Punk, right?
Yeah, definitely. You got to think late 70s, early 80s.
That one track that is our intro, Magic Fly, the music video for which features them playing Moog synthesizers in what appears to be what are they?
Spacesuits, really, aren't they?
They're diving
suits?
They're wearing spacesuits with those old school diving hats.
Right.
I don't know what they're called, like the scuba masks, but like the Thousand Leagues Under the Sea old school ones with like, it almost looks like they're their own submarine. Yeah, they're, so it aesthetically, they were the predecessors of Daft Punk, in my humble opinion. As always on the Burner Files, in the beginning, I'm going to start you off with a little section called Tumblr Me Now. I just named that right now because
that's a
I'm
good
awesome.
One. We're sticking with that.
So we're going to stick with it. And that's when I go to my Tumblr and I look at the first thing that loads up on my page, regardless of whatever it may be. And I'm just letting it load. Bada bing, bada boom. Oh, okay. Another one from Lovey Dovey Hovey. This picture right here that I'm looking at seems to be a person. This person could be male or female. I'm not sure. I cannot tell. But this person has dreads and is painting on a wall. They're painting a sun that's orange. And it kind of looks trippy. I'm assuming it's the result of some kind of spiritual or hallucinatal intake of certain vibes. And they're chilling on the floor. There's a bottle of water. There are newspapers on the floor. And the canvas, it's on two walls. And it seems like they're having a pretty good time with it. It looks like there's some type of, wow. It's like a pulley thing for a light switch. You know how you can turn on and off a light switch from a little pulley thing, but it's like, it has to be like 6 feet long. Yeah. This is an interesting photo. Lovey dovey.
Yeah. I guess you can interpret that in a number of ways. I can't actually see the picture, exactly. Which is good because the way you described
it. I'm trying to describe it as fully as possible.
Well, you brought it to life, but I still don't have a reaction yet.
I don't either.
Right.
It may be just flat, or it may be just what it is.
Or it's a subliminal message that we'll understand later.
At a later point. And then the one under that says, this whole life is just a hallucination.
Oh, I see.
Typical.
Okay.
Typical.
That can lead to a number of other thoughts that. So that's good. I like it.
Speaking of hallucinations, are you a cat or a dog person, Paul?
I used to be a cat person. Actually, I should say that.
What makes somebody a cat or a dog person? I mean, I guess you could be a number of.
Well, it's like comparing apples and oranges in a way. It's like, why do you like fish and why does someone not? They're different things. They're different creatures. They relate in completely different ways, actually. Dogs tend to be more, you know, scent-based.
Mm-hmm.
And linear, they like to walk in straight lines. Cats, they wander all over the place. They're more visual.
Mm-hmm.
And so they relate. So some people might relate to that paradigm more than others, you know?
They do. Yeah. It seems that cats are more, they choose their times of affection, whereas dogs always seem to want to please constantly. And that's just an observation of mine. I mean, cats will come up and be affectionate for a time and then fuck off for a few days and you won't see them. If they're outdoor
cats.
That's
also more in the male cat.
Really? I thought male cats are more docile.
Male cats tend to wander more. The so-called tomcat will go out and seek
his adventure. Bounty? Oh, sounds yeah, sexy.
It's definitely. And female cats tend to be more territorial. Have a smaller territory and more, you might say, loyal.
Oh, okay.
With dogs, you don't see that. So the males and the female dogs, they act very similarly to each other, but male and female cats, quite distinct personality traits.
Interesting. So female cats would stay in the perimeter of a home more rigidly than a male cat?
Like definitely.
A male cat would wander.
Yeah, male cats
further.
Are more aloof, as you pointed out, like... They will leave. They choose their affection. They will go wherever the affection is.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
There's so many different kinds of cats and dogs too. There's like all these new breeds popping up all
That's
the time.
That's like a dude. Good pair. Like, the male cat will go wherever the affection is. Such a good, such an interesting statement that can, you know, go further than just our feline companions.
Possibly.
I'm not going to say that it does.
There's definitely. Something to it.
It definitely strikes a chord, so much so that I think we should play some chords, and actually some hyped up chords. So I'm gonna play for you Chunk No Captain Chunk, All Star.
Somebody once told me the world is gonna roll me. I ain't the sharpest tool in the shed. She was looking kind of dumb with her finger and her thumb in the shape of an L on her forehead. Well, the year starts coming and it don't stop coming. Set to the rules and I hit the ground running. Didn't make sense not to live for fun. Your brain gets smart but your head gets dumb. So much to do, so much to see. So what's wrong with taking the back streets? You never know if you don't go. You never shine if you don't glow. Hey now, you're an all-star. Get your game on. Go play, hey now, you're a rock star. Get the show on, get paid. And all that glitters is gold. Only shooting stars break the mold. It's a cool place, and they say it gets colder. You're bubbled up now, wait till you get older. But the minute you let back to differ, judging by a hole in the satellite picture. The ice we skate, it's getting pretty thin. The water's getting warm, so you might as well swim. My world's on fire, how about yours? That's the way I like it and I'll never get bored. Hey now, you're an all-star. Get your game on, go play. Hey now, you're a rock star. Get the show on, get paid. And all that glitters is gold. Only shooting stars break the mold.
Now you're a rock.
And that was Smash Mouth All-Star, the no...
Captain No Chunk.
What is it? What's the band called? Captain Chunk.
That's a great name.
It's Captain Chunk. I think it's a SpongeBob reference, to be honest.
And there's like a bunch of exclamation points too in it.
Yeah, exactly. And they're French. They are French. But
they sing in English, obviously.
Yeah, they have that like simple plan accent kind of thing going on. You know what I mean?
So they've actually almost like they're imitating the Canadian accent.
Exactly.
Wow.
And they do a good job of it.
Oh yeah, they're a great band.
It was great. It was great actually to essentially walk into this at work. I'm so used to hearing like tons of rap in the prep section of where I work, or I'm in love with the Coco. Like that, I just hear the same song like 9,000 times. And this time, I usually take the GO train and I listen to like, I've been listening to the Day to Remember CD for like a week straight now. And I get that all in. I listen to the, like my hardcore or my pop punk, and I get that out of my system. And then I'm prepared to go to work and listen to whatever. But I was presently surprised that a new guy who was on Dish was listening to like State Champs, Chunk No Captain Chunk, bunch of like easy core. And I was like, damn, homie, we are gonna get along. And after that, the work day was good. The place that I work is fucking hard to work at. It's friggin' a lot of shit to do all the time. I work at a restaurant, a really busy restaurant.
In Toronto. Downtown.
Downtown Toronto. Yes. Below New Tribe Tattoo.
Oh.
On a Tuesday. But yeah, we just try to laugh. I find that laughter is so, it helps. I think it's some kind of coping mechanism to deal with the stress of it. But I find myself always just trying to come up with more clever and stupid things to say, so everybody will laugh, and that the time will go faster, and two, we'll just feel better about our lives. So it's an interesting.
Yeah, it's like, weird because when it's one of the few things, laughter is one of the few things that you can get everyone to do all at the same time.
Yeah. It's contagious. Laughter is contagious, and it emits, like, in the brain, shit is emitted in the brain when you laugh, and everybody feels that same, endorphins or whatever.
Yeah.
I actually watched a YouTube video. I think it's D-News, amazing YouTube channel. And it was on laughter in monkeys and stuff. And they did a whole bunch of studies, and they actually said that laughter is a way of, one, communicating, and two, social bonding. When you get one or more people to, take part in whatever is funny, et cetera, and it forms bonds that are established. So that's interesting, too. It's always interesting to see how, jokes or funny situations can actually bring people closer together on that kind of a vibe.
That's a really interesting point. You have to, and what's funny to some people isn't funny to everyone.
Exactly.
But clearly it's something that we've evolved to cope. But it brings a lot of insight too. We were, satire or different ways of looking at things. Sometimes it's only humor that can really shed that light on complex,
certainly,
problems.
Speaking of complex problems, you have something to say, Paul, about the cyber wars on the World Wide Web.
Well, yeah, you,
which this podcast is available on. No big deal.
Yeah, obviously. That's because when I said satire, you were referring to, like, earlier we were having a conversation about the movie The Interview.
Indeed.
Which is satire. And yet it's that has managed to apparently offend the North Koreans their leader, Kim Jong-un, right?
Kim Jong-un.
took offense to the depiction of himself in that movie. And like, Hans, you can describe the movie better than me because you've seen it, actually. But it's, so they apparently sent threats and helped, this is alleged, hack Sony so they can leak the movie, you know, spoil their plans to make it this blockbuster hit and expose the truth. So that was, and then America, apparently, the U.S. retaliated.
Retaliation.
They're
always good at that.
Well, they responded, as Obama said, with...
accordingly.
Apparently, an attack on their entire internet infrastructure, which is nothing to speak of, actually. It's very, compared to the average, you know, country in the West, they have, most people don't actually have the internet there.
True.
So it wasn't a big deal, but they, so there's a cyber war attack. That's what the press is dubbing it as, because it's all technological, no bombs are being dropped. And this is all over a movie that is a satire that's really meant for you to look at a difficult subject in a different way. And the laughter just kind of opening your mind to those possibilities. Like,
yeah. And you know, Obama just like totally like called up one of his like hipster friends sitting at Starbucks on his MacBook Pro and was like, yo, we got to show these motherfucking Koreans what's up. And he literally just like got like a couple of Trojan horses and like emailed it to North Korea or something.
Yeah.
It would have been like a new like Minesweeper add-on or something.
Exactly. Like just like Korea probably got their internet taken down because they added a, you know, ad blocker.
Yeah, exactly. It was like one of those Russian girls near you. They click on it and it just blew up everything. Their infrastructure is probably so far inferior to us in the West that it...
Yes and no, because like, look at the recent hacking attacks on Sony and Xbox, Microsoft's Xbox and the Sony PlayStation.
Yeah, but those aren't from North Koreans.
No, but these guys were saying it was so simple to do it.
Yeah.
That it was actually absurd. So it doesn't even take a lot of infrastructure to...
You just need to like attacks. You just need to find the keygen.exe for TD and then get all the money.
Well, yeah, you could find those on the Pirate Bay easily.
But that's KO'd anyways, isn't it?
It's back up.
Is it?
It is back up.
So I don't even know what happened to the full extent they got raided. Apparently, the Pirate Bay is originated in Sweden. I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
That was news to me. And that got resolved, apparently, because the site's up.
It is.
I guess.
Yeah.
Because they couldn't find anything. Because it's peer-to-peer. It's peer-to-peer, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. So that's the gray area, because they're not actually storing any files.
They ain't hosting. They just boasting.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's a number of courts that have tried to say, or a number of people say, okay, let's get these guys for maliciously assisting people in pirating stuff. Yeah. But it never sticks.
It can't. There's so much of it on the internet that it would never, right. It never seems. I mean, they did that.
Kim.com.
Yeah, kim.megaupload.eu. I mean, the worst he did was people to pay for like illegal shit.
Right. That's when you start making a mistake.
Like the Mega Upload memberships or whatever. It was like, right. If you're watching a movie and it gives you like 75 minutes every 2 hours, and if you want to get like all the streaming space, you have to pay like $10 a month or some shit. I don't even know.
Well, that was a fail, so.
Apparently, but he's still rolling. I watched the Vice interview. That was a couple of years ago. He's still killing it.
Oh, yeah, just based on the amount of traffic that
he plays. He makes self-affirming like techno music for himself that, in like all the samples are like, I am the greatest hacker in the world. Like legit. It's fucking real shit. Oh, yeah, man. Okay. Watch the Vice documentary on Kim.com.
All right. I didn't know that.
He's huge too, man. He's a fucking tank.
Yeah.
Freaking Kim.com.ca.org.
Yeah, but that is definitely an interesting story, and we're going to hear more about that kind of stuff later. I mean, as it moves forward, definitely.
Well, it's just a vibe, and going along with just a vibe, why don't we play Just a Beat by Jack Beats? Nah, I mean, I cued it so it's the breakdown right at the beginning. You don't have to listen to the intro. Just a beat.
All right, me being the true Mac man that I am, and yo, check this out, it's just a beat.
That is Jack Beats, Just a Beat on the Burner Files. You're listening to Late Night Vibes, All Good Times. And speaking of late nights, the kind of people that we are, Paul, I would go and say that we are night people.
Yes.
The ones who are more creative in the night, or Maybe our circadian rhythms are meant to be that of the vampire.
Yeah, it's hard to say. I occasionally have had periods where I woke up kind of early, or you know, outside of being
like
forced
before
to,
before noon.
Yeah, like yeah, 10 or something.
10. Just but, still pretty late compared to the.
Well, yeah, the but yeah, I've like definitely had to get up at 7:30 in the morning every day and do certain things, but you know, work regimented hours.
Yeah.
But now that might be something to do with it. How many people, if they didn't have to work regimented hours, would stay up late?
It's an interesting thing. I find that it's like it's my time. It's my time for myself. Perhaps it's to do with the fact of that it's the opposite of what most people are doing, whereas most people are in their houses, tucked in, sleeping.
Yeah.
And now that there's all this room, if I want to go for a walk, nobody's going to be there. They're going to be, I don't know, I guess it's that vibe of the witching hour mixed with, like, I guess being the opposite, but I'm not sure. I mean, with the hours that I hold, I usually go to bed around like 6 a.m. every day. Crazy. I suppose it's normal. It's normal. What is normal? Nothing's normal. But I don't know.
Well, it's not like you're sleeping 14 or 16 hours so that, you know, or staying up extra long. Like, you're staying up about the same amount of time as someone else.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Who has to get up earlier than you, so they go. I mean, there are definitely people who are morning people,
mm-hmm.
who thrive on that. I like you, I will find myself up at 5 or 6 in the morning, and I will go outside, whatever, have a smoke, and I will see people, like, they're stoked already.
Yeah.
They're out, they've got their dogs, they're jogging, they're...
Yeah, like, you know, my parents...
Some of them look like they're really, you know, like, really excited about it.
Yeah, and that's kind of the motto that my parents hold, being morning people, I suppose. They just... We're like that forever, but they always kind of tell me, oh, you know, as soon as you get on a good schedule, like, oh, maybe one day you'll be up before, whatever.
So it's tied to when the sun is up. So it's yeah. Therefore,
it's that free vitamin D, man.
It's better to be awake between sunrise and sunset than it is to not be awake or not be active during those times, whatever.
Perhaps.
Now that does tie into some ideas. If you're like a monk, or if you're doing yoga in some, you know, yeah. in India or something, they will wake you up before the sun comes up. You do some work in the fields or whatever, and you do a sunrise ritual. You do your shit all day, and then when the sun sets, and so that's supposed to regulate your
sounds like
behavior.
Too much work, man. Sounds like too much work.
Well, you know, it's just that's I have done that, and it's not it can be rewarding in its own way, but as you say, it's got its own strict. It's like it's kind of like a religion almost or something,
right? Yeah, I don't know where I stand on it. I think that as long as you get enough sleep, and there's also this controversies with, I read some article that says if you're a late night person, you're more likely to be like mentally unstable or have more negative, quote unquote, negative thoughts than a person would. Does that just mean late night people are just more like analytical about life?
Well, I think also it means that when you go to look at your Facebook year in review,
yeah,
you might have a bit more of a, you know, like less than utopian set of pictures. Like you might not, and they might not be the most upbeat. They might not have a lot of like barbecues or at 4 in the afternoon or.
Dude, yeah, that's the thing. I haven't been to a barbecue in forever. I mean, the last barbecue party I went to was that Christmas party with the jocks and the edgy kids.
Yeah, that was that interesting. We talked I thought about. That segment was really interesting.
You know what's funny is I worked with the guy who hosted that party today, and I told him that he was on the Burner Files. His party was on the Burner Files, and he was stoked, and he actually wants to be a guest on the Burner Files because he does sports journalism for TSN, which is kind of funny.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, because I actually was thinking about that. How can we would like to bring, bringing in guests would be great. Maybe we can have them call in and we just, you know, do it that way. But
I think calling in would be a great idea.
Yeah.
So if any of you ever want to call in, we'll have a number to do so.
Yeah.
It'll be published on our Facebook or Twitter or Podomatic or Burner Files on iTunes, whatever. Not in the next episode or
However. So stay tuned for that because to hear from, love to interact with people who are listening.
To have another. Mind in the conversation is always interesting in these late night times. Burning the midnight oil with the burning the midnight herbology is it's what we're all about. Speaking of herbs, I think we should play
the Pink Floyd.
Definitely play a Pink Floyd song. This is with us, with the Sid Barretts. With the double intro, I like that.
that misunderstands. She's often inclined to borrow somebody's dreams till tomorrow. There is no other day. Emily cries, gazing through trees in sorrow, hardly a sound till tomorrow.
That was a little Pink Floyd. What was that song, Paul? What was that? What was the
track
of that song?
It's called "See Emily Play." It's from the early Pink Floyd incarnation with Syd Barrett.
And Syd Barrett, what
trippy stuff?
What happened to him?
He met an untimely death, and it was the Pink Floyd that most people associate with. Is after that, they took a different direction.
Yeah, I mean, I personally haven't listened to much Pink Floyd in my day, but I definitely like this. It's a really good. It seems more uplifting in some way.
Yeah, it's definitely more
like it's eerie. It's
psychedelic. It's more LSD based. Pink Floyd was LSD based too, but to me, it kind of became more New Age. That is more like raw.
Mm-hmm. I mean, also the track was in mono, so that's also an interesting experience. It's always interesting when music is used when different genres meet each other that are in such opposite spectrums. Like if rap, you know, it's the whole thing about like if. A rap vocals placed on a dance song, or if you have like the Beach Boys in like a Beach Boys kind of riff in a punk rock track, or just having those opposite kind of vibes, I always think it breeds the most interesting outcomes for sounds, and I think that's one way where new genres and things are born, or I could just even say like mashup culture, where two opposing ideas are, you know, melded together to make something new. It's always really, really interesting, because I mean, people in like, I guess before like hip hop and EDM kind of like amalgamated in the last like 5 or 6 years, it was very like one each to his other side, each to, you know, and it was very segregated.
It was absolutely, you're right.
And what I think brought that together, or the two together, hip hop and dance music or whatever, was that time period within I guess there was some in like the early to mid 90s. But I wouldn't even call that rapping. I mean, you know, like,
yeah,
the no, stuff like kind of like Too Tech-tronic, Unlimited.
Tektronic, yeah, Too Unlimited.
Yeah.
Rob Bass. I agree. Yeah, you're right. There was.
But those
that
were like,
comes out of electro. Yeah.
That's
electro funk.
That's black culture as well.
Yes.
But that was just two or more.
But as far as you mean, like the David Guetta EDM meets Rihanna.
Yeah, or I guess that'd be more like urban EDM meets urban,
right?
But,
yeah, right.
Even more so like raw. Like there's a Two Unlimited stuff that's like jump to the bass, da 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 da. But I'm talking about like you got like a Dizzy Rascal a cappella and then you put it on like a house track or something like that, and you know you get that like get like UK house is that a, like you know with like a vibe or whatever. But I think in the late 2000s that was becoming more acceptable to put more aggressive rap a cappellas on electro tracks. And actually a good example I have, and I'm kind of going to cut to it, is a remix of Bad Boy by Puff Daddy, and this is the LA Mode remix. It's actually pretty, really freaking cool.
Let's do it. Let's do it.
Definition of half man, half drugs, ass to clubs, bad boy, that's what's up, after bucks, crush crews after us, no games, we ain't laughing much, nothing but big things, check the hit list, how we twist shit, what? Yeah. We still here, you're rocking with the best, don't worry if I write rhymes, I write checks. Who's the boss? Dudes is lost. Don't think cause I'm iced out, I'ma cool off. Who else but me? And if you don't feel me, that means you can't touch me. It's ugly, trust me. Get it right, dog. We ain't never left. We just move in silence and rep to the death. It's official. I survived what I've been through. Y'all got drama, the saga continues.
We ain't going nowhere. We ain't going nowhere. We can't be stopped now, cause it's bad boy for life. We ain't going nowhere. We ain't going nowhere. We can't be stopped now, cause it's bad boy for life.
So that was P. Diddy, Bad Boy, LA Mode remix. Yeah, I think there's a little fidget influence, a little techno influence with that hip-hop breakdown. Very cool, very fun. You could see in a club. That would definitely be fun.
No question.
Everybody knows that song, and you're accompanying it with a 4-4 beat and a fun drop. You know, ladies will be going wild to that. Like, no
ladies question. In before free before 11 kind of thing.
Ladies night, free before 11. Check your Tinder matches. You're on the air. Yeah, it's always fun when bands do that, when, you know, just some guy figures out, you know, this song would be great as a dance song, put a hip hop breakdown in it to catch people off guard and then throw it back into like the dance vibe. I mean, it's a win-win situation.
Yeah, and
it gives a refreshing.
When you look at like classic hip hop, whatever, it's at 90 to 100 BPM roughly, right?
Yeah.
And dance music, house music has been, you know, approximately 124 BPM to 130 BPM, give or take. So it's not until recently when you had the ability to convert any tempo into another one that mm-hmm. you got that merging, because that all hip hop is electronic music.
Oh yeah.
House music is electronic music. Prior to being able to warp everything, that is the term that people used when you say you can flexibly change the tempo, the groove of any given sound. That is the reason why you have all these hybrid sounds. Even EDM itself is a hybrid between trance. Used to be at 140 BPM.
Yeah.
And people were slowing it down to 128 BPM and getting completely different results.
Mm-hmm.
So that flexibility of taking motifs, taking palettes, and being able to merge them together has been very powerful for music in the last, you know, 10, 15 years.
As you said before in previous podcasts, the result of changing tempos with the same type, changing tempos with a song, it reveals something different about it.
Right. You
know, so that's
like that mixtape that you had. What episode was that? So people should check that out, actually.
I'm going to say it was either the second or third one.
I was going to say second. Both. Yeah. Yeah. There's an excellent mix.
Subscribe so you can just download them all.
Listen to automatically those when they come out. Fast, slow, slow, fast, slow, slow,
the fast, slow. It's all about Jackstep. Jackstep 1000. I'm going to switch it up now. We just did a track where it was a dance track going into a hip hop track. I'm gonna play a track, an Outkast track that was covered by a rock band. So this is an urban track. I don't want to say hip hop because we'll say it's hip hop R&B track covered by a rock and roll band called Tame Impala. So this is kind of the opposite to what we just heard, but the same at the same time.
I don't want that.
Those were the ever soothing vocals of Tame Impala, Outkast's prototype. That was and is a very, very groovy song.
Yeah, really.
It definitely kind of put me in the mood, actually. Very, very, very sexual song. It's interesting.
Luckily we were on the radio then, because it was visual.
For reals, man. And all these songs, you know, we choose these songs, I want to say about an hour and a half before we actually do the podcast, and it's the day of. So, you know, sometimes I'm just wondering, you know, if these songs are going to fit, or how we're going to transition in between, and how everything is going to work. And then it always seems to have similar connections or vibes or whatever. Yeah. At the time, I'm just like, oh man, these, like, who knows if these are going to work, but it seems that everything's flowing in a certain way that is definitely cohesive. And we're talking about how different, you know, genres of music are made when you bring two different and sometimes opposing elements together. And what we just heard was a rock group covering an urban hip-hop R&B group. And before that, it was a mix of hip-hop and dance music. And I'm going to have one more example, and that is bringing like English UK and hip-hop together, which the Gorillaz did so nicely. And I don't even know the guy. I don't even know who the guy's name is in Blur. But to be honest,
Damon Albarn.
Damon.
Yeah.
Damon. Well, that's cool.
The lead singer of Blur. Yeah.
Yeah. Highly talented. I mean, if it comes to Blur and Oasis, I lean more to Oasis, because I think the hooks are better.
And Oasis was more diverse, if I may say.
In what way, though?
Well, let's put it this way. They had more layers and textures.
Like sonically?
Yes, sonically.
I mean,
it's more symphonic. Blur is a bit more, I mean, it's more, it's a three-piece. They're a three-piece, right? They were a three-piece.
Blur?
Yeah.
I don't know. I have no idea.
Yeah, I think they were. And you can hear that sound.
I don't know. I didn't really latch on to a lot of Blur songs. I mean, obviously, I heard Song 2, and I've heard that other song where it was like the milk crate who's trying to find his way home. I don't even know what track it's for, but it didn't stand out in my mind. But when Damon constructed the Gorillaz, that's when things got really interesting. I found that he took his talent for vocals and songwriting, and when he incorporated it with hip-hop beats and rap vocals layered with his voice, it made this, like, magical...
Who do you remember who the Thing. Who the other members were?
Del Funk, the Homo Sapien.
Right, that's it.
That's that, one of the rappers, I think. Yeah, I'm not sure.
And maybe some of the beats, because I think he was a self-producing rapper, actually.
Del Funk? Yeah, I don't. I'm unsure of. I'm unsure of who else worked with him as well. But the fact that, those beats and his voice paired like so well, and he was, you know, in that case you're able to tap into both industries too. You know, you're getting all those Blur fans, and then you're getting hip hop kids, and then you're getting
crossover.
Then you're getting you're getting that crossover.
The holy
appeal.
Grail of genres is a crossover across those large segments.
Plus, and
if
then,
you're a business guy,
yeah, exactly. And then the fact that
you're right. That doesn't matter, because even if that's true in a marketing sense, that is not the intention of those artists. Because there's an inherent curiosity, right?
It's not at all.
To see how they would communicate with each other.
Plus the fact that they're all cartoon characters too, which adds another layer, and all their music videos are animated.
Well, he probably had legal obligations too with his label at the time, so they often have to hide their identity.
Really? You think so?
Yeah.
I mean, it's an interesting, I don't know, it really worked. And I mean, the first time that I heard Gorillaz, I think I was in grade 5 or grade 6 when the first one came out. And it was just purely a new idea. A new idea that these two different music spheres could be one with another. And this track is called Double Bass. Very, very trippy track on the Burner Files.
Makes me anxious, at times unbearably so.
And that was Double Bass by The Gorillaz on The Burner Files. There are many ways to reach us on The Burner Files. We're on Twitter, and that is at The Burner Files. You can also find us at burnerfiles.podomatic.com. You can find us on iTunes. Just type Burner Files. You can find us on Facebook. Just type in The Burner Files.
I'd love to hear from you guys. Any suggestions, feedback, comments, anything you'd like us to contemplate here?
Yeah. Content is always welcome. Music suggestions are always welcome. And we're going to try to get a segment where we have people call in and talk to us, interview us. They can interview us. We can interview them. We're always looking for new fun stuff to talk about, stuff to expand our minds.
Just bring some, like, we're looking for vibes, and we just mix it in with the...
Yeah, exactly. We're just a couple of guys sitting in a basement
in Toronto.
The couple of guitars and what else? There's a few weights here too. Maybe we might lift some weights.
We'll lift some weights and we'll change some guitar strings.
Oh yeah, and maybe that tube. Maybe we'll fix the tube on that tube, on that amp. But hey, we're really happy you guys tuned into The Burner Files episode 5. You know where to reach us at. Thank you so much for tuning in. I hope you guys had a great night, because I know I did. Live on The Burner Files.